collect up our track month reports. So if you have that filled out, the ushers are coming around. I want you to get these. And I'm going to ask Pat and Jamie if you guys would get these, divide them up, count them up real quick. And then before we dismiss, we'll see who gave the most tracks out this past week. I got a phone call this morning from Brother Ed Davis. They had to go down to Baltimore. And he said, "Preacher, make sure you get..." Here you go, Phil. Sorry. He already got in there. He said, "Make sure you get it." He says, "I gave out 600 tracks this past week." I think he's lying, but... But no, they've been getting after... morning said that, and he said remember Billy that we've been praying for last week? Remember the guy that was on drugs, got beat up? He said Wednesday I went to visit him. He said I was able to lead him to trust Christ as Savior this past Wednesday, and they've been working on him for a long time. He said he is so broken. He said God is just working in his life, and he said it was exciting to see him in tears calling the Lord, trusting Christ as Savior. And then I got an email this morning from James Kent down in school. And by the way, James is going to be working as our intern this summer for us, so we're excited about that. But he wrote and said, "Guess what, preacher? I got to lead a young lady to the Lord out on visitation yesterday." So James was excited about that. So a couple good reports there for this week. We praise the Lord. And, you know, we have a good time giving these tracts out, but the end result is we want to see souls saved is what we're after. Joshua chapter 1, and I just want us to notice verse number 11. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 11. If you're in the habit of taking notes in your Bible or underscoring passages, if you have a pen handy, I want to encourage you. Notice in verse 11, "Pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare." I circled that word prepare. "Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over." I circled those two words. Prepare, pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess. I circled the word possess, the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Several days ago, I was reading through this passage in my daily devotions, and those three words were underlined in my Bible. Actually, they were circled. I don't remember doing it. I don't remember exactly what it was about them, but it caught my attention. And I began looking at it a little bit. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, crossing the Jordan. Let's pray together, ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, as we look into your word, I do ask that you would bless. I pray, Father, that it would not be Dennis Leatherman up here speaking, but Lord, I pray it would be the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts from the Word of God. I want to be faithful to your word. Lord, if there's anything that I have planned to say that is not true or is not correct, I pray you just put it from my mind and help me not say it. Lord, if there's something that ought to be brought out from this passage that I've overlooked, I pray you would bring it to my mind as I'm speaking, and that you would get what we need, you would get to us through your word. To accomplish that, Father, I present my body to you anew. I yield my will to yours. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Joshua is really, if you read that first verse there, a continuation of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch as they're called. It's just a continuation. Deuteronomy ends and Joshua picks up from there. The book of Joshua is a fascinating book. It's one of my favorite Old Testament books. And if you read it through, and a great way to approach the book of Joshua is sit down and try and read it through in a sitting, or at least a huge portion of it, and get the flow of the book and kind of see in your mind what's taking place. The book of Joshua is filled with great drama. I mean, there is people acting courageously, soldiers. There is battles taking place that are just amazing. In fact, there's some battles from the book of Joshua, I'm told, are still studied in our military schools. West Point are still studied because of their strategy and whatnot that took place. It's a fascinating book. There is unbelievable failure on the part of some great men in the book of Joshua. There are struggles, personal struggles, national struggles are recorded in the book of Joshua. Great conquests, miracles take place in the book of Joshua, and a fascinating book. Many Bible scholars say that the book of Joshua is comparable to the New Testament book of Ephesians, in that it's very rich in its teaching and of great practical benefit to us. Joshua begins. Look at verse 1 with me, if you would. I'm trying to set the stage here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the book of Joshua begins with the death of Moses. I cannot read that without commenting on God's title for His man. After the death of Moses, the what? Servant of the Lord. Again, you come down, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Boy, what a great title God gives Moses. You know, and I've said this before, when man wants to honor another man, they give him great titles. Grand Poobah, you know, Doctor so-and-so, and they give all these great titles. When God wants to honor a man, He gives him the title of servant. My servant. And so Moses is dead. The book of Joshua begins with the death of Moses. And you immediately have the rise of Joshua, who was an assistant to Moses for many, many years. God raises up Joshua to take the leadership of the nation, and you have immediately the miraculous crossing of the Jordan by Israel. Now that event, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness after coming out of Egypt. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Now they're crossing the Jordan, going into Canaan, the promised land. There are so many ways you can apply that event to our Christian lives. You can do a series on that. But the crossing of the Jordan is a fascinating event. It took place on the 10th day of the first month in the Jewish calendar. 10th day of the first month. Which happens to be the very same day, calendar date, that Israel crossed the Red Sea 40 years earlier. Isn't that fascinating? 40 years before, God had them cross the Red Sea. Of course, you know the story. Moses, the waters divide, they go across, they crash back in on the Pharaoh and his armies. 40 years later to the day, on the anniversary of the crossing of the Red Sea, Israel crosses the Jordan into the Promised Land. Same date, 40 years later. Got thinking about that. I thought, little did Israel realize when they stood at Kadesh Barnea and God told them to go in the Promised Land and they refused to. They said, the people are too big. The warriors are too strong. We can't conquer it. We can't do what you've told us to do. Little did they realize that that would cost them 40 years. Little did they realize that that whole generation, 20 years old and up, as we preached on just recently, that whole generation would die in the wilderness. I'm telling you, why is it we never comprehend at the moment of disobedience what that disobedience is ultimately going to cost us? What a tragedy. But here we are, 40 years later to the day, and Israel is going to miraculously cross the Jordan River. Same way, almost, that they crossed the Red Sea. The waters are going to hold up coming down the river and pass on down below. They'll cross on dry land, miraculously, same day, 40 years later. Now, the message this morning, I want to apply, I hope you're listening carefully, I want to apply this message to our lives in a way that is out of context of this passage. I very seldom do that. But I want to take this crossing of the Jordan and apply it to us in a way that is not in context, as I said, but is biblical in its content. And so, and by the way, many of our spiritual forefathers did that same thing. And this is what I mean. Great preachers and theologians years gone by would take the crossing of the Jordan and they would use that as a picture or a type of the Christian going through death and entering heaven, going to glory. Now, I say that is out of context because that application does not fit the situation here. And this is why it doesn't fit. That is not an accurate picture. Because when Israel got into Canaan, the promised land, what was the first thing they faced? Battles. They had enemies. Hey, I'm here to tell you, when a Christian gets to heaven, there are no enemies there. We get to heaven, there's nobody going to be opposing us. There's nobody going to be against us or against God or against... While we live here below, there's a heap of folks who are against what you and I love and believe and hold too dearly. But we get to heaven, all that's behind. Amen? One of the first things they faced when they crossed Jordan River, they got into Canaan, the promised land, they faced battles. Hey, when we get to heaven, there's no more battles. The battles are over. There's struggles in the promised land. There's defeat. You get to chapter 7 of Joshua and you find terrible defeat and disobedience. Chapter 6, actually, the last part. And you find Israelites being killed because of disobedience. Hey, once we get to heaven, no more failure, no more defeat. So, our many, many men of God of years gone by would take this event and use it to illustrate or picture the Christian crossing Jordan of death and going to the promised land. In fact, we have a very famous song on Jordan. What's the song? I'm bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Now, that's true, but it's not in context. You follow what I'm saying? There are no battles. There are no enemies. There are no defeats. There's no land to possess in heaven. To land to gain in heaven. But what the crossing of the Jordan is a picture of the Christian dedicating their life to Christ. It's very much a type or picture of baptism where a Christian says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Comes the point, Romans 12:1, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's the point, it represents the point in a Christian life where I'm not going to live in the wilderness anymore. I'm not going to live by sight anymore. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to serve God. And hey, the Christian life, when you dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first things you're going to find are battles have to be fought. Enemies have to be overcome. You dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that sometimes there are still failures. So the context of this event, to apply it in context, has to do with living the victorious Christian life down here on earth. Now, I said all that to say this, that's not how I'm going to preach it this morning. So if you want to go out and say, well, preacher, preach the sermon that wasn't in context of the passage, you would be absolutely right. Guilty. But what I'm going to preach is biblical. And I think this passage here and these three verses, these words that we underscored, apply beautifully to the event of a Christian passing death and going into heaven. And that's how I want to apply it. So, are you with me? Everybody here? Everybody all right? Everybody glad you came? Everybody glad you came to church today? Anybody? Amen. All right, good. Let's look at this. Three key words here are phrases. Prepare, you victuals. The first word I want us to consider is this word, prepare. Prepare. God had given Israel notice that they were going to cross Jordan. There wasn't any question about it. There wasn't any doubt. In fact, look at verse 11 there. He says, pass, God speaking to Joshua, or Joshua commanding the officers, the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. There was no doubt in anyone's mind in the nation of Israel at that time that they were going to cross Jordan. It was not going to catch anybody off guard. Now here's the application I want to make. God has made it abundantly clear. In fact, we can look at history, and without exception, we are going to face death. There's no doubt about it. There is no reason in the world that death should ever catch a person unprepared. God repeatedly declares in His Word that life is short and death is sure. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. And when I do funerals, and particularly when I was working with hospice and various things, the thing that would just amaze me is that so many people will buy insurance and prepare for something that they hope never happens, is their house burned down. We just had that in church. And you get property insurance, you get fire insurance and all that. You hope it never happens, but you want to be prepared in case it does. Right or wrong? We buy insurance on our cars. At least I hope you do. Not because we are sure we're going to have an accident. We buy insurance on our cars in case we have an accident, hoping that we do not. Right or wrong? But there's one event that we know is going to happen. There's one event that no one can escape, and that is death. And I am amazed at how many people make no preparation for the one thing that we know will happen. We'll go out this afternoon and knock on doors. We'll try and share the gospel with people. I guarantee you, we don't do it this way, but if we did, we knock on doors, someone answers the door, and you say, can I ask you a question? Are you ever going to die? The answer, 100%, would be, anybody that's honest and serious about it, would be what? Yes, I'm going to die someday. The question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared to die? It's going to happen. God has made it clear. We look in history. Man lives, he dies. Life is short. It goes screaming by. We were down in, where were we yesterday? Westernport. And we're driving down there. It was like deja vu. I was just here last week. It was a year ago. I said, was it my wife? Did I say to you, does it seem like we were just here a week ago? It was a whole year had gone by. And here we are back down there again. I'm telling you, time goes racing by, racing by, racing by. Death is certain. Life is sure. And God says, we better be prepared. What kind of fool? What kind of fool would know he's going to die and yet do nothing to prepare for it? How foolish. Take your Bibles with me if you would. Now keep your place here, but I'd like you to come to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 9. I'll give you page number here in a minute. Hebrews chapter 9. It's page 1299. Hebrews 9:27. Boy, if you underline verses in your Bible, this is a verse you really ought to underline. You ought to highlight this one way or another. Look at 9:27 of Hebrews. As it is what? Appointed. That word appointed has the idea of a specific time and place. Like you make a doctor's appointment. A week from this coming Tuesday, my wife has a doctor's appointment at what? 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock. It's a very specific time. Look what he says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. What is he saying here? He is saying that God has established a very specific time, an appointment, that each of us are going to die. And then there's very somber words following. And after this, what? The judgment. Now, God has made this very clear. Our death is an appointed time. We have an appointment when our physical life will end and we will go and face God. Now, there's not a doctor in the world that has the ability to postpone that appointment. Amen? Listen, don't misunderstand. I am grateful for doctors. I'm grateful for what God has given them the ability to do, the medicine. I take medicines. I go to the doctor. I'll be honest with you. I want to live as long as I can. Amen? I'm all for it. But when that time and when that appointment comes up, there is not a medicine, there is not a pill, there is not a shot, there is not a treatment, there is nothing a man can do to postpone that appointed time of our death. Nothing can do. And by the way, there is nothing an adversary, not even the devil himself, can advance that time either. Now there is one person, I believe, the Bible teaches, there is one person who can bring that time of death earlier than God necessarily intends for it to be, and that is myself. Because the Bible says there is a sin unto death. And it is possible for me to live in such, as a child of God, to live in such rebellion against God. It is possible for me, as a child of God, to harden my heart to the point where I say, I am going to do what I want no matter how God chastens me. It doesn't matter what God does to try and bring me around. I will not do right. And God says, there's a sin unto death. And I could hasten that appointment by my own sinful rebellion. But a devil in hell, an enemy on earth, a doctor cannot change that appointed time. Are you with me? So, God told Joshua, you get you the commanders of the people. You send them out through the congregation, the nation of Israel. We're out here in the wilderness. You tell them that there is a specific time that we are crossing that Jordan. You must be prepared. You must get ready. I am the son of a truck driver. That's all my daddy's ever done since he was 16 years old. I grew up riding with my daddy out in the truck and all over the place. For a while I wanted to be a truck driver. And he said, don't be a truck driver. Any dummy can drive a truck. And some of the truck drivers I know, I tend to agree with my dad now. I'm not talking about Ron Wagner. But I'm the son of a truck driver. I grew up in a truck driver's home and traveled many, many times with my daddy. I learned something. When you're driving an 18-wheeler, and that thing's loaded, up ahead, you're going to have to make a turn. When you're driving an 18-wheeler, you don't wait until you get to the corner, then all of a sudden hit the brakes, spin the tire, and go around there. You don't do it that way, right or wrong. If you know you've got a turn, and you've got a loaded truck, what do you start doing? You start downshifting that thing. You've got to get in the right lane, especially if you're going to turn right. You've got to get over in the correct lane because you're going to have to make that corner. You have to prepare ahead of time if you're going to make that corner, if you're going to do what you've got to do. And driving that truck is very much like life. You have got to look ahead. The Bible says the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In other words, the wise man, the prudent man, looks ahead and he gets himself into the right position. He gets himself in the right gear so that he can make that maneuver, that deal with that situation that's up ahead, so he can deal with it correctly. He doesn't just go plowing into it. And sadly, I see so many people living their lives, and there is an intersection up ahead. And that intersection is death. That intersection is the end of my physical life and when I'm going to meet God. And I see people and some professing Christians just plowing ahead through their life, never giving a thought that the day is coming where I'm going to stand before God. The day is coming where I'm going to have to give an account of myself. Death is sure. And they just got the throttle down, the pedal to the metal, and they're plowing towards certain destruction. We see it all around us. Listen to me. God says you must prepare. You must be ready because death is sure. Judgment is sure. Don't live your life like you're going to live forever. You need to be ready to gear down. You need to get in the correct lane because you will never make that intersection if you're not prepared. God told the nation of Israel, prepare. Prepare. That's a good word. Prepare. So, we must be prepared at all times to make our move to heaven. Listen, we better not get too settled down here on earth. Huh? We better not sink our roots too deep down here on earth because we're not going to be here forever. In fact, it's very possible some of us may not be here next week this time. There's no guarantees. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are perhaps people with us this morning who will not be here next year this time. Look back a year. Look back 2 years, 5 years. We better be prepared. Now, how do I prepare? How do you prepare for death? What do you do? Well, come back to Joshua. Believe it or not, there's actually some things here that God told Israel that they were to do to prepare Jordan that actually are great application for us to prepare to face the Lord. Look with me, if you would, at chapter 1, verse 13. He's telling them, verse 11, he's telling them, prepare. 3 days, you're going to cross that river. Look at verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Remember the word. You know what a good way to prepare for death is? Remember what this book tells us. I tell you, a good way to be prepared is to get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about heaven and hell. Get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about sin and forgiveness and God's judgment. Find out what the Bible says about being saved from the judgment and wrath of God and finding forgiveness for our sins. Listen, the only way to prepare to face God is the way the Bible says we are to prepare. The only salvation is Bible salvation. And if a person claims to be saved any other way than what the Bible says we are to be saved, that person is not saved. We're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we need to remember the Word. How many folks here, you testify, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. Say amen. Amen. You know what another way for us that know the Lord to be prepared? Is to every day remember this book. We ought to, as saved people, as Christians, as believers, we ought to get our nose in this book every day, every chance we can. We need to be living by this book. Listen, you claim to be saved. You say you know the Lord is Savior. And all that Bible does all week is lays on your countertop or on your end table. I'm telling you, you are not prepared as a believer to face the judgment of God. You got to get that Bible out. You got to get your nose in it. Find out what it says. What God expects from us as Christians. What God instructs for us to do. And we better get about it because we are going to face the Lord someday. So one way we prepare to face the Lord is by having remembering the Word of God as far as salvation is concerned, and then remembering the Word of God as far as what God expects from us as saved people. Another way to prepare, if you would, turn over to chapter 3 of Joshua and look with me at verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What was he talking about? He was talking about passing over Jordan. And he says, before you pass over Jordan, you need to sanctify yourselves. Now that word sanctify simply means set yourself apart to the Lord. In other words, this is what he's saying. Are you with me? Everybody with me? This is what he's saying. He's saying, you get your act cleaned up. You get things right with God. You sanctify yourself to the Lord. Listen, you let go of this wilderness living. You let go of this living by the here and now. And you set yourself apart unto the Lord. Because tomorrow, we are going to cross this Jordan. And what he says to them, I say to us, we must get ourselves right with God. We must get our act together. We need to get separated from this world, separate ourselves unto the Lord, because it is a very real possibility that this week some of us will be facing Him. Sanctify yourselves. Get your act together. Get things right with God. Get in shape. Because we don't know. Death is certain. We don't know when that appointed time is. And we must be ready. I've said this so many times. I would far rather get to heaven and find out there were things I could have done that I did not do than stand before Jesus Christ and find out there's a bunch of stuff I was doing I ought not to have been doing. Amen? Amen. Listen, I don't offend anybody. You know me. I don't like to offend people. I'm nice. Lady said one time, she goes, you're so nice when you visit me and you get so mad when you're preaching. I don't know if anybody, but I would rather get to heaven and Jesus say, Dennis Leatherman, you could have wore earrings. It wouldn't have mattered. Oh, I could have? I would rather hear him say that than get to heaven and say, what's that thing doing in your ear? Now, I know that's little, don't get offended by that. But I'm simply saying this. I don't want to hold on to this earth and then stand before God and find out I had my hands on the wrong thing. Amen? I would far rather hear the Lord say, Dennis, listen, you could have backed off a little bit. You could have, you know, it wouldn't have been that tight. I'd rather hear that than hear Him say, what in the world are you doing out in the world so much? Why are you so worldly? Are you with me? You understand? Is nobody mad? Okay, good. I don't care. I'll preach it anyway, but I just like to know. Prepare. Here's the thing. If you don't get anything out of this message, I hope you get this. We cannot escape death. We know it's coming. We don't know when it's going to show up at our door. So we ought to be ready every minute of the day. Right or wrong? Right or wrong. Second phrase I want us to look at just quickly, back in Joshua chapter 1, we said the word prepare. Notice the phrase, let's read it. Pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. That phrase, pass over, implies that you're not stopping in the middle of the river. Right? Passover. I'm going from one side of the river. I'm going to pass over and I'm going to end up in the other side. I'm going through. It has the idea of going through a passageway. It has the idea of opening a door and walking through it. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Death is not the end. It doesn't all end at death. I don't know how many people have told me over the years, preacher, I think when the body dies, that's it. I asked somebody one time, Do you know for sure where you're going to go when you die? He goes, oh yeah, absolutely. I said, where? He said, the grave. He said, that's it. I said, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, but that ain't it. There is a place beyond death. And that place for every individual is either heaven or hell. Death is not the end. Death is simply a doorway to existence beyond this life. I'll be very frank with you. Before I got saved, death was a horror. Before I got saved, to die was the most horrible thing that could possibly happen. But once I'm saved, now don't misunderstand, I'm not excited about dying. But death has lost its sting. And death has lost some of the horror that's associated with it. When I study my Bible and I understand that through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not the end. Death is simply a passing over. Death is simply a passageway into the very presence of my Savior. He said, you're going to pass over this Jordan. You're going to go through. Now, he did not at this point in Joshua chapter 1 tell them how they were going to pass over. But he simply told them, you're going to get across the other side. And here's the thing. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know how you're going to die. Sometimes we can anticipate sickness that's in or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know exactly how we're going to cross over. But the Lord says this, I guarantee you one thing, you will get to the other side. You will pass over this thing. Pass over. Don't know how, we'll find out at the time. But one thing we can be sure of, God will give us grace when the time comes. When that time comes, God will give. I've seen it so many times over the years. I've seen it where folks are just scared to death. And then when those final moments came, as believer, a peace settled down. And they said, I'm ready. And God gives that grace at that moment. But the point I want to make is this. Death is not the end. Death is simply a passageway. Now, I would imagine they're telling them, we're going to cross over Jordan. At this point, doesn't tell them how. I can see me as one of those Israelites walking out to that Jordan River. And man, that thing, at this time of year, it's overflowing its banks. That thing is rushing and raging. It's crashing over rocks. And I walk out there, I look at that, and I think, we got to go through. We're going to go over that. I don't see no bridges. I don't see no rope guide across. How in the world am I going to get? This is scary. This is dangerous. I don't know if I want to do this. Do you know what happened? That water was raging and crashing and overflowing its banks to the moment the priests put their foot in the water. And it wasn't until their feet entered the water that that thing parted. And they walked across on dry ground. And I've seen that. People scared to death. I don't want to die. I'm scared. I don't want to die. Are you saved? Yes, I know I'm saved, but I'm scared. But brother, when those feet touch the edge of death, suddenly that thing parts and a peace comes. Crossover. I've heard a number of people, and I don't know this personally, but I've known a number of people, preachers who have said they've been with people, and just the moment before they die, they'll say something like, there's grandma. There's daddy. You know, I think that's God just parting the waters. And they go across. The Bible says the angels escort us across. Pass over. You're going to end up on the other side. It's real. It's a real place. Death is not the end. God promised them they would pass over. Then the third word I want us to notice. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 11. Prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. To go into what? Possess it. That word possess means to take possession of. It has the idea of inheriting something. Here's the thought. We never really possess anything here on earth. We have it for a little while, but sooner or later, it either deteriorates or somebody else gets it. right or wrong. Someday, hey, someday someone else is going to own my house. Right? Someday someone else is going to drive that car or end up in the junkyard. But it's not going to be mine. The only thing we really possess is when we cross Jordan, we get to heaven. And that will be our possession. Think about this. You get to heaven, nobody else will ever live in your mansion. It's yours. Unlike down here, not temporarily. It's forever. It's forever. You're going to possess the land. It's going to be yours. You're going to have it. Like I said, I grew up the son of a truck driver. I've been called the son of other things before, but I grew up the son of a truck driver. And I learned something in my daddy's driving. I learned that you have got to get things in place before you get in that situation, or it's going to be a disaster. Right or wrong? You've got to gear down. You've got to get in that right lane, correct lane, if you're going to maneuver through there. Up ahead of every one of us is death. Now, we can just drive along like it's never going to happen. We can just live our lives and act like it's nothing. We can pretend we have everything in place, but if we don't get in the right lane, if we don't get geared down into where God, we're prepared for that thing, it is going to be disaster. And the worst thing that can happen is for a person to die without their sins forgiven, to die in their sins and spend eternity in a devil's hell in the lake of fire. We've got to be prepared. Last night in our family devotions, we're reading a little devotional book my father gave me. And it told the story of a security guard. As we read that, I thought of today's message. I clipped it out. Security guard worked at the same job, watching the gate of a chemical plant for 15 years. For that entire time, no one ever tried to break into the plant. The guard watched television, he read books and magazines, drank soda pops, walked the grounds. Often he would doze off, passing the long, tedious hours in a slumber. It hadn't always been that way, though. When he first was hired, he had sat alertly at his post, making his rounds promptly and completely. He spent hours on ways trying to improve the security. But that didn't last long. The dull routine of the work and the late hours took their toll. As time passed, so did the guard's enthusiasm. One night, while the guard slept, three men broke into the plant and made off with thousands of dollars worth of valuable chemicals and drugs. And in an instant, the guard lost his position because of his inattention when it mattered most. And how much more you and I as Christians, some of us have been saved a long time. On May 7th, next month, May 7th, it'll be 30 years since I've trusted Christ. After a while, we get used to it. After a while, we just start going through the motions. And we lose our awareness of the fact that the day is coming when we will have to give an account to Christ. And we must be prepared. Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that when you die, you're going to heaven? Do you know that for sure? If you are saved, let me just put it this way. Do you have your act together? Are you living for the Lord or are you living for yourself? Death is certain. Time is screaming by. We better be ready. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask you would help us as a church to be about the Lord's business. Pray you'd help us as individuals to be prepared. That day comes, we cross that Jordan. With our heads bound and with